Hello everyone and welcome to JFG. Tonight we will be talking about the situation in Ukraine because some people think that it's unjustified and that Joe Biden is exaggerating here in pulling out the US personnel that is non-essential. So essentially the families of the people, of the diplomats, of the people in embassies. He's pulling them out of Ukraine as if there was going to be an invasion from Russia of Ukraine. Is it spectacle? Is he trying to cause a conflict, or is actually a conflict in brewing? And will there be an invasion by Russia? We will see. But for now, starting Monday, there will be evacuations of personnel in Ukraine. Didn't Coach Red Pill tell us that he was living in Ukraine? I hope he's doing good. I hope he's allied enough with Putin that he won't get in trouble. But we will talk about the configuration, the geographic configuration there, and what are the plans of Putin potentially, or what at least people say are his plans. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Monkeys on the loose. Before we get to our main subject, lab test monkey on the loose after a truck crash in Pennsylvania. There were 100 of these monkeys that were, they say, crab-eating macaques. I don't know if it's a type of macaque. As far as the picture goes, it looks like the macaques I was working with, it looks like a macaca mulata. So apparently one of them has been escaping from his cage and is on the loose. There were 100 of them meant for vaccine research, it seems, related to COVID. I hope that they're doing okay, because I have one of my colleagues, the lab director where I worked at Duke on monkeys. He's now in Pennsylvania, so there might very well be some monkeys in there that are meant for my old colleagues. Hopefully everything is doing good and the monkey will be safe and recovered. We also have a follow-up on a story that I had covered. People will remember there was Rachel Maddow complaining that Sotomayor was the justice of the Supreme Court. Sotomayor was not able to go live to the Supreme Court in person because Gorsuch was refusing to wear a mask. And the justices had denied this story. They had said it's not true that that Gorsuch has been asked by the leader of the Supreme Court to wear a mask. So NPR has decided to refuse to correct the story. They stand by their reporting despite the denial by the Supreme Court. It's a very bizarre position. But they say the justices of the Supreme Court have not properly denied their story, because their story was saying that that there was a request to Gorsuch in some form to be wearing the mask, and the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court has denied that he had requested. So is there a difference between denying that you've requested and requesting in some form? I don't know. Perhaps it is a case where the not full denial exposes a kind of implicit request that had been made. But it's kind of bizarre, especially since Sotomayor herself has published a statement denying that there were any conflicts around mask in between the justices. So it's a very interesting position where the journalistic entity decides to keep with their story despite the person involved saying, no, I'm not a victim. We are all in good relationships here. But you can give it to them in the sense that Sotomayor didn't say, it's not true that I'm staying home because of the mask. It's not true that that it's because of Gorsuch that I stay home. So she also has failed at denying in full. Sprocket says Norwegian and Russian high commands are in constant communication to avoid misunderstandings. They're using Windows 10 and Skype. Is that really the most reliable mode of communication? You know, there's no reason why it wouldn't be. If you can connect with it, it's totally fine. Steven Robinson is already on Entropy. Join me on Entropy. It is my favorite platform for super chats. It is the right place to send me your questions and super chats if you'd like to support the show. You can also use the support button below the video on Odyssey, but you have to be signed in. So don't forget to create an account on Odyssey. It's an important thing. And in fact, today we might get some messages in the regular chat by Mama JF because she has created an account. Mama JF will be among us. She had been delaying this for a long time. But now that I've made the full move to Odyssey, it's great that we could get some messages from Mama JF as we used to do on the YouTube show. The Entropy survey tonight, the link is right in the description below. Will Putin invade Ukraine? Yes, not sure, or no. We'll see if the speculation and the scare that is currently taking over the American government has brought you in. Steven Robinson says Putin will invade if the New World Order is stubborn to Ukraine being a member of NATO. Putin not playing with his line in the sand. Yes, that is one of the requests that Putin has made to commit not to invade Ukraine. He said that he wanted NATO to promise that it would never extend toward Ukraine. And a lot of the Western media on this has said it's an impossible to meet demand, like Putin is being capricious. But wait a minute. Is it really capricious to say, I don't want to be surrounded by enemies? I don't want to be surrounded by forces of an aggressive government that has had its mediatic class lie about me for 4 years with respect to the Trump-Russia collusion story? Is that really unacceptable in terms of a request? How would America feel? How would the US feel if, I don't know, Russia invaded Canada and said, we're going to make Canada a vassal state of ours and we're going to have a military alliance with Canada and we're going to surround the US? How would the US react to this? Would that be acceptable to them? Because that's essentially what the US is doing to Russia right now. They are conquering territory through NATO alliances, closer and closer to Russia, limiting the movements of this country, its potential for development, its potential for security around it. Families of U.S. embassy personnel in Ukraine ordered to begin evacuating as soon as Monday, officials. Next week, the State Department is also expected to encourage Americans to begin leaving Ukraine by commercial flights. There has already been messages from the U.S. government to the employees there that they shouldn't expect a military style of evacuation, that they have to pay for their own tickets. That's a common thing that we've also seen with the Afghanistan case, where there was no more commercial flights going on and the American government was saying, you have to pay for your tickets, you have to take the commercial route. They have said this to the people in Ukraine right now. They said you have to get on commercial planes. There are still pathways for you to get out, so get out through these means. So what is the situation in Ukraine? Ukraine is this country right here, bordering Russia. And Crimea is this right here. So the Crimea Peninsula is this, and Crimea is this. And Ukraine has been surrounded by Russia and the Belarus. And right now there are a lot of troop movements from Russia into Belarus. And it is done under the pretense the pretext of a coordinated practice, a military practice of some kind. But there is speculation that the reason so many troops have been sent at the Belarus into the Belarus is to invade Ukraine from the north. There is also, of course, the accumulation of soldiers from Russia along the Ukraine border. So that is the situation. There is a lot of troops of Russia that would be capable of invading Ukraine. There are tanks, there are there are planes, and there are troops that have been accumulated. This is what is scaring people. Now, from the perspective, so the situation of Ukraine is that there are some two provinces here that have been increasingly subject to movements of separatism. It dates back to at least since 2014. And the message of Ukraine, the belief of the Ukrainian officials has always been that these sovereign republics were really pushed by Russia, that it's Russia that was fomenting the desire of these foreign republics to separate and to become sovereign. And that the ultimate goal of Vladimir Putin, and it's important to note that there's a river that splits Ukraine right here. And the theory is that Russia would have a desire to take Ukraine up to that river approximately or even further if they go from the north, from Belarus, or they could go on the side of the river here if they just go from here. The river splitting here, Russia would penetrate Ukraine territory up to the river with the goal of, or it could have just a limited action through the border right here, the border of the Crimean Peninsula, with the hope of securing a land passage from Russia to Crimea. That is one of the theories, that they would want to secure at least the border right here. And as it turns out, the border is securable precisely through these provinces that have been subject to a separatist independentist movement that would probably be easier to conquer because you wouldn't get necessarily the resistance of the Ukrainian government, because these places are they already have their own resistance movement against Ukraine. So the comments by Yahoo News is as follows. Many analysts remain skeptical that Putin will order a full-scale invasion, at least without a significant reinforcement of the around 100,000 troops massed near the border. There's no question that Russia's military is vastly more powerful than Ukraine's, but attempting to invade and occupy a well-armed, hostile country would likely entail military casualties on a scale Europe hasn't seen in decades. Short of that, Putin could seek to occupy and annex separatist-controlled portions of eastern Ukraine or seize coastal areas to create a land bridge between Russia and occupied Crimea. So that would be exactly right here. Just securing this coastal area might be significant enough for Putin. Biden also noted today that Russia could reprise its gray zone tactics from 2014, deploying paramilitaries or Russian soldiers not wearing Russians' uniforms. So that is another possibility. Nicholas Petris says, no buffering on my 2014 tablet. Dead Ribbit says, buffer time. Fuck, it's getting on my nerves. Well, sorry for those who are buffering. Let me tell you, I mean, we are at low video quality here, and I've been very insulted. Some guy asked me on the last show if I could generate MP3s of lower quality. No, I can't. Like, if you can't download an 80 meg MP3, you do not deserve to watch this show. I was already insulted that I had to generate MP3s, but I was like, okay, I understand there's people watching us in the third world, like the US, They absolutely have low bandwidth. I know what it is. But I'm not going to reduce the quality of MP3 to get it from 80 megs to 60 megs. At this point, you have to update your internet, okay? The third option, so we read this. So that's the possibilities that they call. Those are the possibilities of Vladimir Putin. Now, the West is on a campaign of soiling the reputation of Vladimir Putin and presenting him as a kind of psychopath and doing even some psychoanalysis. What the West will never understand about Putin's Ukraine obsession. It's like, how about you do that analysis on Joe Biden? Joe Biden has had his own son play high-level corruption in that country. What is an obsession in Vladimir Putin if you can't see that Joe Biden has been playing and his sons have been playing aggressive in Ukraine, dominant, and they've been playing the game of neocolonialism in Ukraine to a point where it makes me understand fully, if I was Vladimir Putin, I'd be worried that essentially a subordinated state of the United States would be rising that close to my home. It's a worry. It's a problem. And it's all Joe Biden's fault. He's the one who's been playing with his son to gain control of the oil industry and to control the governments there, to have them do whatever they wanted. So I think that this shows us that there will be a particular angle by the Western media, and it's going to be, of course, anti-Putin. The way Russian President Putin and Kremlin propaganda talk about the countries Russia threatens, with Ukraine front and center, to invade, occupy, coerce, and control, tells the story of perhaps the unhappiest family in the world. They go on to say that the Russian language around Ukraine is a psychological... They do a psychoanalysis and they say Putin uses the language that there's the Russian motherland and that Ukraine is the daughter and that there's the brothers. And it's absolutely psychoanalytic. Now, meanwhile, Russia Today has been releasing documents by a guy who's part of probably private military of some kind. So the guy is being hired by on the Ukrainian side. He doesn't specify who's hiring him. Is it the American government? But for some reason, he was sent to Ukraine, and he proves it with his geolocation. And he shares at the end of his TikTok video or whatever, he shares a map that shows the hypothetical takeover of Ukraine by Russia through a seizure up to the Dnieper River. So that's the scenario I was talking about. You have this big river splitting Ukraine, and you would have Russia moving in from Belarus and even conquering beyond the Dnieper River, at least for troop movements. And you would have troop movements coming from the east and securing the entire border with the Crimean Peninsula. So that was published on the Ukrainian side. So presumably it's the kind of PowerPoint figure that is being displayed right now on soldiers that are pro-American or that are pro Ukraine. So here's another map that allows us to see the configuration of this river, the Dnieper River, right here with the Dnieper Dam right here, and leading into the Black Sea. Russia could potentially split this part of Ukraine if it fully does the move. Of course, it could do more if it wants to commit to a longer campaign. And we have sent, America has been sending little aid. So that means aid in the sense of ammunition, weapons. We have seen those cargo just being delivered right now at the Kyiv airport for the U.S. embassy in Ukraine. The U.S. embassy in Kyiv. The delivery was described as a sign of the Biden administration's commitment to assisting Ukraine in the face of growing Russian aggression. The first shipment of military aid promised to Ukraine by U.S. President Joe Biden amid Western speculation about a supposedly imminent Russian invasion of the country has been delivered to Kyiv. Late on Friday, the U.S. embassy in the Ukrainian capital posted photos on Twitter of large green-collar crates being unloaded from a cargo plane. The crates held almost 100 tons of lethal aid, including ammunition intended for the frontline defenders of Ukraine. It said, according to the embassy, the delivery was further proof of Washington's commitment to helping Ukraine bolster its defenses in the face of growing Russian aggression. It's a mystery to me why this is being turned into a publicity campaign. Like, if you are truly a military strategist wanting to protect a nation from potential aggression, why would you tweet about it? It seems that this is a show, and this leads me to believe, is it possible that Joe Biden actually, the people who are truly managing the American government, which is not Joe Biden, but is it possible that whoever is in control is setting up a confrontation? They act like they want a confrontation. Expect no coordinated evacuation out of Kyiv, says the U.S. State Department. Same thing as Afghanistan. It's not going to be coordinated. So you're on your own. Find a ticket and fly back to America. U.S. citizens in Ukraine advised to board commercial flights in case push comes to shove. A spokesperson of the U.S. Department of State has warned Americans currently in Ukraine that they should not anticipate that there will be U.S. government-sponsored evacuations, suggesting that they use the available commercial flights instead. The official made the comment to media outlets on Friday, responding to questions on recent Ukraine evacuation reports. Several U.S. media sources have claimed that Washington was considering evacuating its diplomatic personnel from Kyiv in anticipation of an invasion that Russia was allegedly planning to launch. So it's going to turn a little bit like Afghanistan. Dead Star says, worrying about a Ukrainian invasion is hilarious. How about we worry about our Walmarts filled with 95% Chinese-made goods? Well, yeah, I mean, it's... I've always said that I don't care about this conflict, but I will care about it to the extent that it's news and to the extent that it appears Joe Biden has chosen to get America involved in this pretty deep because he's sending aid. What is that for? It seems that the Ukrainian government is not super happy about the decision of Joe Biden to tell his embassy personnel to get out of the country, because they estimate that there is not that much of a likelihood to for an invasion. But at the same time, America may be making its decisions based on information that is different from that of the Ukraine government. So going back to October, there has been talks around the actions of Russia in Ukraine. This, for example, was a memo sent by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Ukraine. They were complaining that essentially temporary occupation of territories in Donetsk and Luhansk region. So those are the territories that are that have claimed sovereignty at some point. And this has been sent in October last year, so October 2021. and it was describing the efforts of the Russian military and kind of non-military or like military agents not dressed as military that would go into these places and kind of foment the desire for sovereignty and foment the revolt against Ukraine. And it describes that it's all the fault of Russia and that they are the one pushing for these regions to be autonomous, and they're complaining about this. So this obviously has to be related ultimately to the current situation, because it was 3 months ago. Ukraine fearing for the control over its entire sovereign territory, that seems to be their state, and counting to some extent on the US to help them sustain a potential or a threat of invasion. The Times and Bloomberg tie Russian invasion to Beijing. A Ukrainian commander named the date of concern tied to the 2022 Beijing Winter Olympics after Bloomberg claimed Xi Jinping asked Putin to hold off his invasion. So apparently Xi Jinping told Putin, don't invade Ukraine yet, I want my Olympic Games. And the Olympic Games in China apparently will end up on February 20. And it is said that Xi Jinping said, you should invade Ukraine only after February 20, because I want my games to go well. I don't want any trouble, any geopolitical conflict before the end of the Olympic Games. I don't know if that's true, and it sounds to me like if someone tells you this, you should absolutely invade just as the game commences. If most people expect you to attack on February 20, you should attack before. It sounds to me like it's a bizarre claim that Putin would have agreed to this deal. Dead Star says, haha, I hadn't thought about the Olympics. Why madman Putin and his Ukraine shenanigans are entirely logical. So this is the kind of coverage you get in Western media. Madman, psychopath, crazy. There were people evaluating that he has 5% chance of being delusional. How much chance do you have that Joe Biden is delusional? Russian President Vladimir Putin is making the West anxious. They described the situation, stationed 100,000 troops on his country's border. And Joe Biden says, do I think he will test the West, test the United States and NATO as significantly as he can? Yes, I think he will. It's not clear what Russia's central demand is, said U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken. Well, I think that Russia made it pretty clear. They said, we will promise not to invade Ukraine if we have a guarantee that NATO doesn't extend to Ukraine. And this has been described by Western institutions and media as being irrational demand, impossible to meet. Well, that's it. So therefore, you are stubbornly pursuing an imperialistic policy that seeks to limit Russia's extent and actions. So don't be surprised if that leads to a war. You guys are the one who don't want Ukraine to be a free nation. You guys are the ones to want Ukraine to be a subordinate state to the American system. So there you go. There you got your reason why it's totally rational for Vladimir Putin to be worried about it. That's another article covering the latest preparations. U.S. preparing to approve evacuation from embassy in Ukraine. According to the Fox News article, it would start Monday. The Department of State is preparing to approve the evacuation of some U.S. diplomats and diplomats' families from the embassy in Ukraine. The final authorization has not been approved, the sources said, so the scope of the evacuation is not yet clear. We have nothing to announce at this time. We conduct rigorous contingency planning, as we always do in the event the security situation deteriorates. Unconventional Wizdor says, this is the side of JF I appreciate. Thankfully, he's on Odyssey now. Yeah, these things, we couldn't have talked about them so openly on YouTube. So I'm happy to be here. So what is the conclusion for this part of the show? Well, maybe there is a desire of Vladimir Putin to take the eastern part of Ukraine. Maybe it would be a better positioning for him around the Black Sea and to have also land paths to Crimea. And so it could be the case that during the Olympics or before the Olympics, or if the reporting is true, after the Olympics, Vladimir Putin could send troops into Ukraine. It's also possible that we are in a continuation of the American provocation and the American diabolization of Vladimir Putin. And in this case, Vladimir Putin is just having fun and laughing at all the expenses that he's generating in America, and he doesn't have any intent to get into Ukraine. We'll see. But he had once said, back in the days of the Crimea invasion, he had once said that Ukraine was only a legitimate part of Russia and that it wasn't its own country. And so if he said as much, it would seem that his military vision, not diabolization, but demonization, diabolization being the French word for it. Demonization of Putin. I don't know where I stand, because I would need to see where it develops and see what are the moves of Putin. For now, there are just stacks of troops at the border. Could mean something, could mean nothing. Wife stands up with hospital to keep her husband alive and wins. Sentiments expressed in random phone calls for Anne Quinner as her husband Scott lay in a hospital bed breathing through a ventilator ranged from "I hope your husband dies a vegetable," followed by a litter of profanity, to "he should have taken the vaccine, I hope he dies," before hanging up. And in fact, this is a dramatic story. This is a man who didn't get the vaccine by choice, took the risk of contracting COVID, and unfortunately he found himself on a ventilator, and he's been very poorly cared for by an hospital that wanted to unplug him so that he could die. They had a fight because the wife thought that there was a way to bring him back to life, and so she had a lawyer force them not to unplug him. Eventually, he got transferred out of hospital. They found out that the initial hospital was essentially treating him in a way that was making his condition worse, giving him way too much tranquilizers and stuff that would paralyze him. So they were essentially not helping. They were leading him to his death in the way they were caring about him. And now he finds himself into another hospital, and the medical profession is so bigoted against the unvax that, you know, she throughout dispatch, she got doctors saying, every time reminding her that, oh, you know, you should have gotten the vax. Oh, you know, I have to choose how I use my resources. And right now, putting a respirator on a guy like this who's unvax, I don't know if it's worth it. He doesn't have the good profile to keep him alive. all these insinuations that ultimately somehow doesn't have the someone doesn't have the right to get the best medical care just because he chose non-vaccination is absolutely disgusting. And it shows that it's not just in the media and in the general population. The anti-unvaxxed discourse is penetrating the medical profession and the very decision about who dies and who doesn't. Disclose.tv reports large protest against vaccine passports and vaccine mandates in Helsinki, the capital of Finland. All right, so we have increasing movements in countries of Europe against the practice of vaccine passports. It's encouraging. Of course, it's late at this point, but there are people who are confident that the whole vaccine passport will be scrapped following the policies enacted in the UK. The UK totally, did I say Helsinki? Helsinki. In any case, the UK has given up their policies and it's time for other countries to follow. That was a Disclosed TV report on what we talked about, Ukraine, the evacuation, etc. NHS staff are throwing their uniforms in protest of the vaccine mandate because although there is no more lockdowns, I believe that the health personnel are still under a vaccine mandate in England, so they are protesting by throwing away their suits. All right, we even have a sign that says Free Assange, and we have a sign that says My Body, My Choice. Well, that's what it, that was a popular slogan of the left until they wanted to inject you. Jason Miller talks about Getter. We've been covering Getter for a couple of days. It's quite fascinating how this guy has no clue about what he's doing and whether this qualifies as free speech. He got asked by this guy about his free speech position. Let's see his answer.
I want to dig down a little bit more on the free speech situation. The Getter website actually says, quote, this is the website, Getter champions free speech. So let's dig down a little bit. What does that mean exactly? I mean, it was clearly Getter is a million times better than Twitter and all those other places, but free speech, I means free speech with no asterisks, right? Or how do you see it?
So typically, and the way that we look at things, most people in Western society, that your free speech rights extend to the point where they start to infringe on somebody else's rights. Now, on our terms of service, we lay that out and say that we want to go and respect that, make sure that you have the full ability to communicate with folks. But at the same time, we're going to make sure that there's no illegal behavior, that people aren't suggesting that you cause physical harm to yourself. There are no racial or religious epithets. Now, the terms of service that we have on there come across as a little bit legalistic because that.
The thing is it worth going back to the principles here? The problem is, if you start saying that my liberty is to be limited by how people are offended by my words, then you're giving power to what I say to other people. Ultimately, how a word is received by others, it will determine, is determined by the listener, not the speaker. And by giving power, by saying, I want to create a safe space on Getter, a space where people are not afraid to come, you will inevitably be choosing what is it that justifies a feeling of being afraid. And when you choose religious epithet and racial epithets, of course, you're going to be securing a bunch of people and not securing a bunch of other people. What happens when they start writing smear articles about me? I feel threatened. So will you be banning the people who write smear articles about me? No, you won't. Because you've decided that there was a certain category of people, and that decision is totally in line with every other social media platform. You've decided that you were going to protect a subset of your base, and that subset is religious minorities and other groups with revendications. That is not free speech, of course. Now, you want to make your little app, you go for it, but don't brag about taking the stance of free speech if you can't walk the walk. San Francisco officials secretly and illegally operating an illicit drug use site. These drug use sites apparently are illegal by certain laws of the US, even at the federal level. And yet they've been putting up those fences, and people get in there, and there's nothing that says drug use site officially, but it's an unofficial drug use site where it is suggested to people that they can smoke, for example, opioids like fentanyl there. And already since 1 week of operation, there has already been two overdoses, people who were going to die and who were given emergency drugs to keep them from dying from the fentanyl overdose. And I was like, this is anti-Darwinism in action right in front of us. If you save people from things that they would have decided for themselves and that would have led to their death, you are not helping the constitution of the genetic population of the future. You are making more people with drug issues, with incapacity to choose correctly, will be surviving in our society. Jen Psaki was talking about the fact that there was no victory for the Democrats in passing a pro-Democrat voting law. They call this a voting rights bill, but it's really a bill to favor Democrat voting. Oh, and now Twitter wants me to... Okay, let's see if I can get it.
So my advice to everyone out there who's frustrated, sad, angry, pissed off, feel those emotions, go to a kickboxing class, have a margarita, do whatever you need to do this weekend, and then wake up on Monday morning, we got to keep fighting. And what that means, Lindsay, is we have to keep talking to members about federal legislation. That's essential. That's something.
So it is the relief of Jen Psaki that's what leftists do. They go to a kickboxing class and they drink margarita. That's a bizarre way to release the pressure. Boris Epstein was on MSNBC, and he was talking about so he's apparently a liar involved in the whole claim that Trump, that the 2020 election has been stolen. And he's being subpoenaed by the January 6th committee to, and being a liar, there's something wrong, you know, because there is the client attorney secrecy. There's not much that they can ask him, and it's not really fair to even bring him in this committee because he can literally say to all answers, this is protected by client secrecy. But still, he says he will go there, and he was on MSNBC, shocking the host. You can see his eyes here, by saying, "Yeah, I will repeat it. The 2020 election has been stolen."
This very week, so this is pretty newsworthy. Your response to all of that. First of all, thank you for being here as well, sir.
Thanks so much, Ari. My response has been public. I'm happy to share all of the information about the overwhelming amount of fraud that happened in the 2020 election in Arizona, in Wisconsin, and Georgia, and Pennsylvania. Of course, as you understand as a lawyer, and I believe as you referenced on your program, subpoenaing attorneys is a major problem for this illegitimate committee, but we'll see what happens.
So First, yes, we did report there's attorney-client privilege issues, so fact check true. Second, when you say you will provide evidence, does that mean your intent is to cooperate to provide testimony to this committee?
Or my statement stands for itself. I'm happy to provide evidence of the overwhelming fraud that happened in the 2020 election to you, to the committee, to Democrats, to rhinos, to anybody out there. This election was stolen for President Trump. President Trump won the 2020 election.
Very interesting. It's been a while since I haven't digged into these things. I remember that back then the claims were extremely loose. You know, there were always these a specialist in mathematics and computer programming shows that it's impossible that the votes be that way. And I was finding back in the days the case was relatively loose, but I know that there were certain things that were very alarming. There were certain things that seemed like opened developments of the way the counting was done and the way the votes were gathered. It seems that it was intentionally put so as to be ultimately unprovable whether there would have been fraud or not, essentially hiding the traces. So I'd like this guy to go to the committee and lay out his evidence, because I'd like to see a more modern case for it. I'd like to see in 2022, forgetting about all the bad arguments that have been made, the conspiracy theories, what is there left in terms of a solid case? I'd like to see it. There are some people sending questions on entropy. Stephen Robinson says, Boris is another member of Team Bannon. He goes on War Room at least 3 times a week. Okay, I don't watch the Steve Bannon show War Room, but thank you for letting me know. Sprocket says, there's a guy that has a huge thread of sightings of Russian war equipment in transportation. Okay, let's have a look if we can get this thread. So, Russian equipment in transportation. Typhoon KM Raps UR-77. Tanks here. Some kind of transportation vehicles. All on railroads being transported. Some pictures of plane. S-35 fighter jets. We have some tanks that are being flown. Is that the case? Okay. All right. Well, that is that looks like weapons of war. Jeff Doe says, what would be your response to people who say no one else has the right to infect others with COVID by not getting the vaccine? I hear this argument used for lockdowns. Dawkins and others have used this argument before about people shouldn't be exposed to things like risk and hardship. Well, to that I say, actually, I agree. You cannot expose someone to a risk against their consent. So, how do we organize this? Well, you certainly don't say we're going to imperialistically conquer all of those risk, those people who are scared of that risk. We're going to take over the whole of society, and we're going to make anyone who carries risk X not have access to society. That is another violation of consent, which is you have just violated the consent of those who wanted to expose themselves to the risk. So how you do this is simple. You say, if you want to do a private club or even a restaurant where unvaccinated people are unwelcomed, you can. If you want to do a restaurant where people with characteristics A, B, C, D are not welcomed, you can. But if you want to do a restaurant where people who are unvaxxed are welcomed, you can. See, people are making a fallacy there, and this should be described on arguably.io. By the way, if you want to go watch the website, it's making great progress. People are adding stuff. It's amazing, the participation. beautiful work that's being done. But I think we have to highlight this problem in the argument here. It's not because you recognize the possibility that someone may withdraw from being exposed to a risk that you want to force everyone not to expose to that risk. So if there are people who don't want to be in contact with unvaccinated people or unmasked people, they can create their own parallel society. But if some businesses want to take that risk and they are okay with their employee potentially getting COVID, and they are okay with it, in their evaluation, the vaccine doesn't help enough against transmission, then you have to let them live. We are not discussing whether I would like to force anyone to be exposed to a risk. I don't want to force anyone. I want McDonald's where we can get in and not be vaxxed and not be masked and eat. I'm not telling you can't have your other McDonald's in which you will have to get the vax. Just create your parallel society and do it. But if you keep me from having my McDonald's, then you are stepping over my liberty to expose myself to the risk that you claim is there. Steven Robinson says, JF, will you watch UFC tonight? At least two title fights on the line, the featherweights and the heavyweights. Well, I didn't know there was a UFC, but yeah, I mean, I might be watching it. I was looking to take it relax, you know. I was actually thinking of not making a show, but I found that this Ukraine stuff was interesting enough, so I was thinking of taking a vacation. But but given that it was interesting, I wanted to do a show about it. But I will probably take it relaxed tonight. Mama Jeff has been cooking homemade Pop-Tarts. Okay, I respect this decision. She chose to, instead of buying the Pop-Tarts, she has been cooking the Pop-Tarts all day. I'll probably pop a tart and watch the UFC and maybe drink something. John Drake says it's legal to spread AIDS in California. Yes, it is. That's one of the big reversals of the left. How they were all about the free spreading of the diseases as much as you can. And suddenly, when COVID came, it became a big problem. Suddenly, they had a problem. People have been sending me a quote. Oh, Mama JF is coming. Will we get to see the Pop-Tarts? Okay, they're not ready yet.
No, I need to do the eye thing.
Wow, nice. So, fillings of cherry in there?
Yes, but because the one from the store, it tastes so weird. Everything from the store, it tastes so weird.
It's kind of an overcooked cookie, and it's...
I don't know what they
flowery. I don't know.
Like, I think they put something not Catholic in there.
So you're going to put... they put something not Catholic?
Yes, I think.
And you're going to put icing on it?
Yes.
So have you been able to chat on the regular chat since you've created an account?
Yes, I didn't try. Okay, I'm going to try to.
Okay, go try to send us a message and see if it's working. Thank you, Mama JF. People are discussing the possibility of renaming Mama JF because Mama is kind of a... it's a gendered term. So, Mama JF, would you be willing to remove the word mama? And perhaps we are thinking about calling you perhaps menstruator, JF.
Wow. Really?
Menstruator, JF. Technically, I mean, sometimes you menstruate.
Yeah, not all the time.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. I know that cooking is keeping you busy, so... thanks for coming. Bye-bye. All right. What else do we have? Sprocket says, do you see any ethical problems or bad incentives with an arrangement that would ensure people with serious, irreversible, bad consequences from the vax get a lot of money, like 10 million euros. Never mind where the money would come from. I'm only interested, would it be problematic, Purdy, from a medical ethics point of view? No, I think it's even a necessity that this kind of program exists, and they exist across the world. The only place where they don't exist is in America. So I believe that there is such a thing in Canada as a public fund that if you get vaccine injuries, they reimburse you. Now, I don't know if it's enabled for COVID-19 vaccines. I have no clue. But I know that these things exist. Now, given the amount of social pressure that exists in our societies, you have to have something like this. It has to exist because you have, and especially given that there are requirements like the vaccine passport and the limits to traveling. Now, personally, I'm against these limits to traveling, and I'm against the vaccine passport, and I'm against the social pressure. But especially in the circumstances where these things exist, you absolutely have to compensate someone who's been pressured into taking the vaccine and who's paying the price for essentially succumbing to the pressure. Now, there is definitely communistic thinking into the whole of this system, in that essentially people are saying we need to vaccinate everyone, but because we know that the vaccine will hurt some people inadvertently, we need to compensate them for the common good, that people won't be scared to get vaccinated. Now, from a deontological perspective, this is all extremely painful. And is it a violation? Not, as long as people subscribe to it voluntarily, it's not. But it's dirty. It's like the pooling of risk on their insurance claims. But it's even more bizarre. Because as it turns out, you know, insurance, whether you had the insurance or not, your house would have burned. Like your house would have burned is a fact that's independent of whether you have the insurance or not, unless you have been criminally involved in starting the fire yourself. But leaving that aside, you're not exposing yourself to new risk by getting the insurance. You are exposing yourself to novel risks by getting the vaccine. So it's not exactly a good parallel with the insurance situation. The vaccine is kind of this imperfect all or nothing thing, where if you take it, maybe you're going to benefit from some protection, but on the other hand, you will expose yourself to new risks. And the insurance funds for vaccine injuries, they come as a kind of repair tool for this imperfection that is inherent to vaccination. I would be for the total abolishment of the whole system. And you take the vaccine, you pay the price of your risk, and if you get injured, you will have to suffer through the injury. But given that we are not in this state of liberty, I'm totally fine with the funds existing. They should. There was a text from this All About Woman, What Big Sister Doesn't Want You to Know. I found it particularly insightful, and so I wanted to read those little snippets. Practically every word females utter serves to raise the cost of sex. This includes ostentatious advertising of sanitary towels, paranoia about child abuse, and the promotion of immigrants. Almost anything involving sex is to the advantage of the female. Making sex more attractive and raising its value directly raises her status. Raising the cost of sex is the per female strategy which underlies all others. What a fascinating statement. It's a nice lens to see the world through. That everything a female does is based around raising the cost of sex. It does fit my observations. And there was another snippet on men. For a male to make a major achievement or breakthrough, he must often be obsessive to the point of monomania. To succeed, he must often be prepared to be hated, while a female desires above all else to be loved. For a male to succeed, he may endure ostracism, for his obsessive zeal and his success will inevitably be to the envy and discomfort of others. Maybe he will be loved afterwards, too late or not at all, but he must shed his care to be loved to succeed. Wow, isn't that a beautiful just testament to the force of autism? I find it amazing. This describes my life in so many ways. I've sacrificed so much and, you know, without knowing whether it would pay off. That's often how you need to jump into things as a male. And I realized that the female life is totally different. Jeff Doe says on Entropy, thanks for answering my question before. I used a very similar argument against vaccine mandates before, but they tried to argue the efficacy of the vaccine instead of the moral case. So should we argue efficacy or principles? So my argument against vaccine mandates, I don't remember. Did you, something that you asked this show or a previous show? Or something I mentioned maybe against vaccine mandates in the sense that I was mentioning a McDonald's could exist that allows unvaxxed people in and one can exist that allows vaxxed people in. And then they tried to argue the efficacy of the vaccine instead of the moral case. Well, yeah, I mean, it's a good question whether you want to approach a debate on the efficacy question or the moral case. I think that the moral case is inevitably more solid because, like, think about the intellectual luxury that it is to enter a debate and you don't even have to prove anything. You just have to say, if there's one person killed by the vaccine to save a million other people, that's too much. Now, if you can state this and if you can defend that position, then your debate will be easier. Then you can also engage on the efficacy and say, I don't think the efficacy is as good as you say. And I don't think the safety is as good as you say. But you keep your pillar. There's no reason to abandon that pillar that the death of one 10-year-old girl would be absolutely dramatic to you, even if it was to save the lives of a million 60-year-old people. If you can make that statement morally, you are bounded and you're grounded, and the discussion on the efficacy question will be kind of more a local conversation, less important. And you'll actually have a better chance to make a beautiful case that, you know, perhaps you don't have the right data to evaluate efficacy properly. Perhaps you are not serious enough in your gathering of side effects so that we don't have a good idea of just how much side effects and how much deaths you've caused. These things are important, but it's good to have them debated within the local space of an argument that you know, no matter what the other thinks, you win. That's how I would approach the efficacy versus moral principle. There's never a reason to abandon one while you argue for the other. Sprocket says, wouldn't such high payments cause some people to get the vax when it wouldn't make medical sense in a risk-benefit calculation? Isn't it unethical incentivizing people to do that? I guess that perhaps you could have a situation where the payments are so high that people are actually risking their health with the hope of getting the payment. But I will point out, you know, these systems, the reality is that the payments are not so high. They end up being relatively small, you know. And I'm thinking, for example, of the personal injury compensations for car accidents in Quebec. No one will want to chop their arms in a car accident to get the $40,000 payoff. The amounts are not interesting enough for someone to be able to go against their biological programming and hurt themselves to that extent. Jeff Doe says it was a previous show about potential future risks and how people take risks, and that it is arbitrary to draw the line about this vaccine. Oh, yes. So, well, you got my answer in any case. So, did Mama JF, was Mama JF successful at regular chatting something? I don't know. I don't see her in the regular chat, but there she is. In real life. Hello, Mama JF.
Look.
Oh, wow. That is beautiful. Oh, my God. I want to eat it. Oh, wow. Nice Pop-Tarts.
Yes.
I can't wait to go taste this. I'm going to go there immediately. But we have one last news item. Third NYC teen sentenced in 2019 murder of Tess Major. This girl was murdered by a black teenager, and he got 14 years. Rashawn Weaver got 14 years minimum, and then it can be extended, but it doesn't have to. Listen, it's the state of how things are going in New York with their philosophy of low punishment. This girl will never come back to life. She was assassinated. She was killed at around 18 years old, I believe. She was 18, yes, and a freshman at Barnard College when she was stabbed to death because someone wanted to steal her cell phone, and she fought to defend her cell phone, and she was stabbed to death. I can't believe that someone is going to have a reduced sentence. This is not a case where there's been an accident or a misunderstanding, or oh, the knife fell and it was dangerous, but it wasn't really a murder. No, no, it was an intentional stabbing murder. And she lost her life. And the people who murdered her didn't lose their life, and they're going to come back to society in 14 years from now. Carnival says, if the this will be our last question before I go taste those Pop-Tarts. If the virus was removing young white males instead of boomers, there would never have been lockdowns or these rules. The pandemic shows who has political power and who does not have any. I have to agree. I think it's largely what's happening. We have the boomers have decided to make life miserable for other existing entities. And by that, they show what is the fundamentals of their true philosophy, which is overtake society for your hedonistic pleasure and never stop until your last breath. The signature that the boomers are leaving onto the planet as they exit this world is absolutely disgusting to me. Will Putin invade Ukraine? That was our poll today. 4 people answered yes, 4 people answered no, 1 person said not sure. Well, we have a good split. That is a beautiful symmetrical split. I have no idea. I have no clue. I am as on the fence as the crowd tonight. Yeah. I'm truly on the fence. It could happen. It could happen, and if it happens, I don't particularly have a side in this fight. I think there are legitimate worries for Putin that America has been playing with the sons of Joe Biden, enacting corrupt schemes in China, corrupt schemes in Ukraine, perhaps even at this point, corrupt schemes in Kazakhstan or whatever. I mean, at this point, it's clear. And on top of it, the American media has clearly shown an agenda in the last 4 years, just smearing and attacking Vladimir Putin as the great enemy of Western civilization. There is grounds here for him to be worried about what is being done to Russia and what is being done around Russia. That is it for tonight, boys. I will see you all tomorrow. What do we have on the schedule next week? I'm trying to get some guests, but not everyone is answering, so we'll see if we have guests. But in any case, we'll have a debate next Saturday on the Crucible. J.W. Lewis, a God believer, has taunted me on Gab, and I have taunted him. And we will be debating the existence of God and whether he can prove that God must exist. But other than this, I have nothing on schedule, so we'll be following the news and we'll be taking guests as they come and as they accept. Much love. I'm going to watch maybe the UFC. Bye-bye. Oh yeah, Todd Criminal. He says, watch the video Steel Man in God. Well, you had sent me a message about this, and I've watched it. So it's a bizarre video because the guy is naked. So I'm not used to listening to philosophical arguments of that nature while the guy is naked with his muscles, his biceps, and his shoulders and chest. That being said, if you can go beyond the whole sexual experience and think about really the philosophical aspect of it, he's a good guy. He's very solid. I like his argument. I don't agree with everything. I think it's a little loose and how it's kind of trollish almost. He makes an argument for eternity, and I think that his argument didn't need the five pillars that he identifies. I think that ultimately his statement can be abstracted and summarized to a single step, which is, can you conceive of a physical superintelligence? Yes, then there must be something that's kind of godly with respect to you. And you could call the maximal thing, the maximal machine that is the most intelligent and the most omniscient as allowed by the universe, that would be God. That's as simple as this. He goes through detours and eternity, and it's not clear to me that. And then he finishes on the probabilistic distinction in the entropic principle and how it parallels the Born rule in quantum physics. This is really out there. It's kind of fascinating. It's almost poetic the way he does it, but I don't know that it's a case for God anymore when he gets into this, but that's my comment for now. Bye-bye.